that. And I do hope that everybody has a copy of our program. In case you don't, please do indicate. Ms. Dombi is here with your presence. Just raise your hand if you want at the back. Now we will start with the formalities, DG, as always. Allow you and your team to introduce themselves. I do see a list attached to the program. I'm assuming that this list is incomplete in relation to the people who are here. And then we'll take it up from there. I also see that today we are having our accountant general here, so it is indeed a very important hearing today. And then yes, we will take it up from there. I'll hand over to you and the provincial delegations, and then the AG's, National Treasury, and of course the AG's office, and then members introducing themselves, and then we move on.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't know if the mic works.
I was about to ask the same question.
Assuming that this one works. Thank you very much, sir.
There is a in this one, especially for Scopa, only for Scopa. Every time we're here, there is one or the other glitch. But I hope not for today.
Thank you very much, sir, and honourable members. Chair, let me start by. With the preliminaries also that we are very pleased to be in front of Scopa. It's not a usual thing to be pleased to be in front of Scopa, but we are because we believe that today we're going to be discussing some issues that would assist the process going of intergovernmental relations going forward. Chair, as you know, we have our CFO, Mr. Khalid Muller, who's accompanying me from the Department of Health, together with that young man, he looks very nice, who's our Director Financial Services, Mr. Fenton is his name. Chair, through you, I then request my colleagues, because they're all here from each of the provinces, to then introduce themselves and the people that are accompanying them. Perhaps starting from this side.
Chairperson, my name is Craig Hassan, the Head of Health in the Western Cape. May I also this time also request that I be excused at 9:30. We have an urgent Executive Council meeting relating to the displaced people in the Western Cape called by the Premier at 10. I will leave senior officials after that. But do indulgence if I could be excused at 9:30. Thank you.
Yeah, but how do we accede to that request, Professor? It would be very difficult for us to.
Chairperson, it is an abnormal situation in the Western Cape at the moment with the xenophobic attacks and the displaced refugees. We have over 20,000 people in refugee camps and places of safety, and I would really request that I would have my Chief Director of Finance, who would be available after that, to stand in for me, together with Mr. Smuts, who is one of my directors. But I really would appeal to the committee that, as requested by my Premier, that I be released to attend the Executive Council meeting, which is an extraordinary meeting to deal with an extraordinary situation.
Yeah, you see, TG, you wanted to start on the right. If you had started on the left, My dear Master, said our process. We're eating a snake. Yes, Comrade.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. That request about the Western Cape being in an abnormal situation is not acceptable. And we are not going to allow a situation where, when we need explanations, we're told about other commitments. So I'm going to request, Chairperson, that we keep the gentleman here until we're done. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe DG, let us get the introduction, because as you were talking, I was quickly going through my list that I have here, and I don't get a sense that because we call this meeting, you are here as a DG, and the question that arises is, have the provinces sent their heads of departments, or have it is just another meeting? As long as there is a representative, it's fine. Which might talk to the extent to which a responsible officials take to this aspect of accountability or accounting. And more so when we are here primarily because of these provinces. You'll recall that we met with the National Department. We discussed everything except this matter around Dora. That we felt the explanations that you are giving us cannot be complete in the absence of the people who are supposed to account. And when that has to be done, then you start to check who is here to account and who is not here from those levels. But maybe let us get the introductions and to say to the professor that Gauteng is worse affected than the Western Cape, but if what I have here is correct, the head of the department is here. So, for me, I agree with Comrade Mashian. That explanation does not hold water at all. There will have to be some other time found to attend to these matters. That's why the DG did not send anyone. He came here. So we expect the same sense of tactical awareness from the provinces, but let's leave that for now. Can we get the introduction? Want to know who is here before we continue?
Chair, thank you very much. I'm still sticking to the right chair. If we go to the Eastern Cape, Mr. Boyer is sitting there. He will introduce himself and his delegation.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Lawrence Boyer, Superintendent General from the Eastern Cape. My apologies for arriving late.
Can you repeat yourself and speak into the mic? It is not very healthy, so that members can hear you well.
My name is Lawrence Boyer, Superintendent General, Eastern Cape Department of Health. My apologies for arriving late.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Sibu Ngobo, Head of the Department, Gauteng, and apologies for arriving late too.
Chair, can we ask Ms. Ngobo to also say who's accompanying her?
Thank you very much. I've got the CFO, Mr. Fani Miso, who is sitting across diagonal to me. and I've got also the Deputy Director General responsible for executive support programs, which includes infrastructure grants, and it's Dr. Ubakeng Mekeletsi. And I've also got Dr. Patrick Maduna, who is responsible for core health services, which would include the other conditional grants. Thanks.
I would imagine that you would certainly be sitting together. That makes a lot of sense than to be scattered around. And when we need responses, they come from all directions. So,
with your permission, I also have taken two directors who are directly handling these grants for also exposure and understanding of the issues, and it's Babita Dukaran and also Monde.
It's Dukaran and?
Mr. Monde and Joy.
All right. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people from Gauteng. Okay.
Morning, Chair. My name is Arie Schoenwinkel. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Free State.
Just a minute. Okay.
Chair, that was the Free State. It appears that the HOD has either sent an apology, but we'll hear from the CFO.
Yeah, no, maybe let's deal with the introductions. We'll come to that part.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Lydia Kenelo Sebeho. I'm the head of Department, Northwest Department of Health. With me, I have got the acting CFO for the department, which is Rachel Mkhabati. Thank you, sir.
Just a minute. You are Dr. Sebeho? Oh, okay. No, thanks.
I am Yuni Samuele, acting head of Department of KwaZulu-Natal, Department of Health, and with me is Sipho Buthelezi, the Chief Financial Officer of the department. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good morning. I'm Sabu Dlamini, the Head of Department for Health and Social Development in Limpopo. My acting CFO will be joining us. He's playing us late.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Tabos Berko. I'm the Head of Department for Northern Cape. Sorry for not confirming attendance.
It is pointed out here that the attendance not confirmed, but no, it's fine.
Good morning. I'm Sibongile Lizungu, acting HOD, Mpumalanga Department of Health and Social Services. I'm with the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Netolonda, and Melanie Vormaran, the planner for the department.
Is that it? I'm having 8. Which province is outstanding?
All of them are spoken.
No, the last one was definitely my province, Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
So,
all of them are spoken.
But why am I having 8? Eastern Cape, Free State, Oh, yeah, it's Western Cape, where we started, okay. No, thanks very much, DG. I think the one little thing that we can talk to is, the representation in the Eastern Cape. Superintendent General, is that the head of the department?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And then in the Free State, we have the CFO. Why is the head of the department not here?
Jay, thanks. I believe he's engaged with the Premier of the Free State somewhere. I'm not sure where.
But you certainly cannot come here representing him and not even knowing where he is. Surely, if he sent you to come here on his behalf and you don't know where he is and why he's not here.
Okay, all that I know is he's with the Premier of the Free State.
Yeah, you see, when you come to Parliament, you don't need those kind of explanations as if, you know, it's been given to juniors who don't need to know the details. They must just know is he the Premier. I mean, it doesn't fly. It doesn't fly. Whether it's the Premier or whoever, we have requested that the department should come here. He can be with the Premier tomorrow, could have been with the Premier yesterday, but he can't be with us tomorrow. He can only be with us today. So when Parliament requests officials to come, it's not one of those meetings where you can send anybody who is in the department. So... And I think, DG, it's one of the things that do need to really go down to the lower level. That we don't take kindly to a careless and throwaway attitude to come into Parliament. And more especially when we are not having a party to celebrate, that you wouldn't mind who is here as long as we're all going to be here to be happy and be merry. I think we do things differently, certainly here in Cape Town, and have different expectations from maybe how things are done elsewhere. But because of the same thing, I want to check with Limpopo. The person who is here, Dr. Lamini, HOD Health Services, is that the head of the department?
Yeah.
Head of the department?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was head of a program within the department, okay? So it's only the Free State and the Western Cape, and I'm trying to look around. Your HOD from the Western Cape has actually left already.
No, I'm sure he's communicating the decision of the committee. I'm sure he's communicating the decision. He's still here.
Oh, okay, he's here. Yes, Honorable Trent?
Chair, just on a point of information, there's a lady around, she's sitting in the front and we've not heard from her yet. I assume she's from the Western Cape because she's sitting in the bench where the...
You, no, hang on. The head of the department introduced himself and another official. I can't recall the name, but what I have here is Ms. Brenda Smart. So I assume that she was introduced. Yes, yes, Prof.
Jefferson, I have discussed the matters that are my request with my principals, and the instruction is that I remain and contribute to the committee as seen fit. So, Jefferson, I will not request to be excused. Thank you.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. So now I'm looking at my tally. It's only the Free State that is not represented by the head of the department. And we hope you can follow this up with the head, because we were expecting that, although we send letters separately to the provinces, but through whatever channels and interactions that you have, we expect that this will be sent very strongly and firmly, that we don't accept throwaway explanations. It's not here, that's sufficient. Certainly it's not. Thank you very much, DG. Mr. Accountant General, we know you're here. May we know who you're here with?
Chair, as you've indicated, my name, the Accountant General,
That's your title.
And my name is Freeman Nomvalo, and we have Dr. Mark Fletcher, Director of Social Services, and we have Umesh Nata, and of course, Nico doesn't need introduction. Nico Marais is always here to help us with the proceedings. But the people that are here officially, Chair, is Dr. Mark Fletcher. I am observing the proceedings as I indicated earlier, that my commitments are elsewhere.
Okay, thanks. AG's office?
Thank you, Chair. I'm Alice Miller, Corporate Executive, and on my left-hand side is James Aguma, Senior Manager responsible for the National Department of Health.
My name is Chairperson. My name is Paul Sirose. I'm a corporate executive in the AG's office. I'm with Lawrence Van Fier. He's the senior manager in AG's office. Thank you.
All right. Can we have members of parliament introducing themselves, starting from my extreme left?
Chair, I'm Eddie Kent, a member of SCOPA, and I come from the Eastern Cape province, so I hope the Superintendent General will feel comfortable that he's got an ally here, maybe, or maybe not.
One thing I can assure him is he has no ally.
Morning, everyone. Trevor Bonham, SCOPA.
Good morning. Kebasi Chilepule.
Good morning again. I'm Lorraine Mashian, a member of the Public Accounts Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Ronald Mufugiri, the Public Accounts.
Vincent Smith.
Pierre John Gerber.
John Kumedi Skopa.
Right, thank you very much, Comrade Temba Godi. I chair this committee. Right, DG, you would recall that in the past two encounters that we've had, there have been a number of what I would call sticky points that we're able to clarify and move on. But consistently, there were other things or other matters over which we could not find resolution. Primarily because they relate to funds that you as a national department transfer to provinces. And in terms of the conditions or the framework for those transfers, there have been consistent challenges. Some of these challenges are have consistently been there. One was looking at the last three financial years on this particular aspect. We found that they are consistently there, and we are unable to have a sense of the basis of these persistent challenges. And in terms of oversight responsibilities, there can be no amount that is small enough to be ignored in terms of seeking information, explanations on accountability. So it was for this reason that early in the year we agreed with you that maybe we need to come back, start to have a sense and appreciate what are those challenges that face and afflict the lower levels in terms of having the kind of accountability that the Auditor General will at the end of the financial year be happy with the accounting process. So I think that is the gist, that is why we're here, and that is why we wanted that the heads of departments will be here. And I must say I am pleased with the delegation from Gauteng that the range of experience within the leadership of the department will be widened, and I think the level of understanding of what the issues are will not be restricted to one or two people, and I believe that would assist in them appreciating what is it that needs to be done to get these things right. So I saw Honorable Trent, you have your hand up. Yes, I'll hand over to you.
Okay, the way I understand the purpose of this meeting is for us to try and find solutions to the problems around conditional grants. Not altogether, but generally. And it's something that's been with us for a long time. The Auditor General reports about this every single year, since I've been there anyway. And in fact, in this report again, despite the fact that the Audit Committee on the previous page says that he's quite very happy with the reporting and so on, but the Auditor General has a different opinion. Chair, what I also did to try and prepare myself a little bit is I got my researcher to help me with all the provincial budgets, AG reports. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to do the current ones, but the previous year we've done. And as an example, you can go through of the nine provinces, eight of them, the Auditor General reported on. And I'll just take the one example, and that's the health infrastructure or the revitalization program. And in every single province, barring one, the Auditor General has made comments on that. And I don't want to read them all out here. I've got it here in front of me. And then I also bring the Division of Revenue bill with me, and we can look at how clearly all these conditions are set out, conditions under which this money is granted. And I think it would be fair comment to say that these grants make up a huge part of the department's budget and also must have a significant impact on the province if it's spent properly. I'll just read two. Mismanagement of the hospital revitalization grant funds resulted in avoidable expenditure of 283 million. Payments amounting to 753,000 did not meet the objectives. Now, that's a small one, and the other one is a big one. And I just would believe that we need to discuss what is it that we can do about it. Because I see as a perhaps a problem is that you've got three different spheres of government delivering health services, and there's this joint responsibility or co-responsibility.
Honourable Sands.
Now, Chair, yes. Now, my first question is, and this relates back to what we were told some years back, are the conditions attached too onerous to actually comply with? And B, is there proper structures in place for reporting, et cetera, between the national department and the provincial department? Are they effective, those structures? Because according to the Auditor General, it doesn't appear as though they are. And I don't want to read from this report,
right.
Everybody's got it in front of them.
I think the first one, TG, about whether the conditions are onerous, let's not deal with that question. Because those conditions are not imposed from above. They don't fall from the sky. They're a product of your negotiations with these gentlemen and ladies. And you agree that these are the conditions. And then go on to implement them. So I would imagine that ordinarily that should not arise. But maybe to just add to what Honorable Trent was asking, maybe to get from you, DG, what is the actual problem? Why are the conditions not being met? I think out, you know, in a very pointed way, your own sense. Why are these conditions not being met by provinces? And then your own sense, and then maybe the provinces will also enlighten us in terms of exactly what are their challenges. And if those are challenges and have been challenges for years, what must happen? Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson, for those questions. Chairperson, I want to start from the premise that the committee did discuss and agreed that one of the problems has to do with the capacity for monitoring and evaluation in the Department of Health. So that one, I assume we have discussed in detail in the committee, and the committee made its views known to the Department of Health with regard to the capacity to monitor. And I take that one for granted. So in other words, first of all, the problem which I think the committee identified, which the Auditor General identified, which we discussed in the last encounter about the capacity of the National Department to monitor and evaluate and intervene, and there was a long discussion about that. And we are actually taking the steps that the committee asked us to actually look into. But apart from that issue, just of a monitoring and evaluation issue, I do want to go back, Chair, although you've suggested that perhaps that's not one of the issues, to the issue of conditions. Let me say, Chair, that whereas we have an input into those conditions, it's not a product of negotiations between us and the provinces, as it were. It's actually a product of our inputs collectively to the conditions as DORA is drafted by the National Treasury. So some of them may come from the National Treasury, and some of them may come from our input. It's collective in that sense, Chair. But I think one of the problems we have in relation to the conditions and the conditionalities, Chair, which is a broader question that we raised last time, is that if you look at the accounting conditions of the budgets of the provinces in relation to the to in terms of the equitable share and the related conditions of accounting with regard to the conditional grants because of the relationship with National, they are actually not at the same scale of balance. So if, for example, conditional grants constitute about 20% or so of the total budget in the health sector, we would suggest, Chair, that in terms of the conditionalities that we put as national, either through that negotiation, but in terms of those conditionalities in relation to reporting, they actually require much more reporting, much frequent reporting, than would be in proportional to what the province also manages. And I would want my colleagues to comment further on that. Whether that actually then results in the challenges we face is a matter of investigation. But indeed, if a province has got a 15% of its budget as a conditional grant, and would spend a lot of resources having to account for that 15% as compared to the broader, 85% of the budget in relation to just the kind of reporting that is required, then I think it's a matter that would need to be looked into as one of the issues. Let me leave that one, because I'm talking in general. My colleagues will also give an input on the specifics in relation to this matter.
Of course, I was getting worried that you sounded more like making a case for the provinces.
No, I'm talking about my understanding. The second one, Chair. The second issue, Chair, with regard to this, I want to take, for example, the specific issue of quarterly performance reports. And it says here, lack or non-submission of monthly financial and quarterly performance reports. One of the issues that we would need to look into, Chair, which I think is what we've identified on our part two, is that indeed the reporting processes, or what actually constitutes a process to arrive at a report and then submit it to national from a provincial point of view, will inevitably ensure in some instances that there are possibilities of always being late on the submission. The one thing that we note, Chair, because we've analyzed the issue, is that the lateness in most cases, or in the majority of cases, is not necessarily beyond 4 or 5 days. But generally, because the DORA says you must do it on the 15th, then the Auditor General will have a finding that submission is late. But in general, if you look at the reports and the current reports, you'll find that it's a matter of give and take 3 to 5 days. And there are reasons also for that, which both are related to the technical nature of the process. For example, whether people submit electronically on a certain date, and then the processes that are involved. In some instances, it's actually these processes fall on within the weekend. But the details of that also will be elaborated upon by provincial colleagues. Our discussion, Chair, on this matter have suggested that perhaps the date that we've been put in the DORA are slightly unrealistic in relation to the 14th, but there are standard dates, the 15th and the 20th.
So it's essentially, we have no problem.
Essentially, we have a problem only if the dates remain the same, then we'll have the more or less the same kind of outcome.
No, I hear you. I'm taking the substance of your input, that essentially there is no problem.
Well, I'm coming to the larger issue, Chair. I'm talking about the last two.
All right.
The last issue, Chair, perhaps which may be, again, in general, relates also to the governance issues that I actually raised last time, Chair, which would be, for example, that the relationship between ourselves, that is the national and the provincial, in our view, it's not a relationship of a supervisory nature. Okay. It's a relationship of equals, and it's so in terms of the constitution, and that, we're not saying that's a problem, but our argument was that in the context of that, we should be able, therefore, to locate some of the problems that are related to this matter to that kind of context of relationship.
Which then creates a problem.
Yes, because... It creates a problem. For the national, and I'm speaking on behalf of the national here, it creates a problem in that I did put an example that, for example, if I receive a report from a provincial department signed by the head of department, there's no expectation that I should actually suspect that the head of department, who is an accounting officer, may not necessarily actually be reflecting the reality of the province in that context. Such that I would then say I want a bit of internal scrutiny, including internal auditing. Even if I had that suspicion, I wouldn't have the authority to send internal auditors. So that if, for example, the Auditor General finds that there is an anomaly between what the report has got, says the money was spent for, and what they actually find on the ground, the expectation of the Auditor General is that that's a monitoring issue and I should have been able to pick that up. And the, one of the issues was, I don't have the authority to go and get into the books of the province to check whether the report reflects the actual reality, and I would have to do internal auditing to do that. And that's the relationship that should be taken into consideration with regard to this matter. And so you'll have the consistency of the problem. So there are issues of submission, and there are issues of auditing and authority, that, and then there are issues of capacity. Those are the broad issues that I'd like to put on the table as perhaps needing attention, Chair.
Well, I thought we were on the same side on this issue, but from my input, I'm not getting that sense. But maybe you're being balance, but I've heard you. That's fine. Now let me allow Comrade Kumeda first.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I do understand the problem of competence. Perhaps it could be a problem, and perhaps there could be two accounts where people were expected to account also with the equal authority. But at the same time, these transfers are conditional. And if the conditions are not met, irrespective of the status of the accounting officer of the department, if the department, if the conditions are not met, those transfers should not occur. If they don't care, then the thing of fine as it is as it were. Perhaps I would like to get the response of the DG as far as that is concerned. Coming back to the question of capacity, that is the second area. Capacity may not be there because of the capacity of the government. Or capacity may not be there because of attitude, either because of incentive or for whatever reason. Let me give you a case in point. I had a relative in Marathi who was sick. He was admitted. And then I actually, and I brought it in, I actually
appointed to do that job, instructed by the chief there, then we are not going to do it because that patient is not admitted to a ward, but we admit it, but not what the bed is. I think you understand that here was not bed in a ward. They are still in outpatient, and therefore it is your responsibility. Now, these issues, these problems, maybe because they are not enough to let you, but also because of attitude and so forth. So, this thing of capacity, is it because of resources, or is it because of incentive, or that type of I don't care attitude?
Yeah,
thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get a sense, you know, from the DG. You know, last year we were here together with the DG on the 16th of February, 2007. We were saying the very same thing that he's saying now, that is the capacity he doesn't have. He doesn't have the capacity to question the DDGs in the provinces. Now, on that very same day, we made him aware. We made the DG aware that the DDGs in provinces are not delivering the goods. And then he's here again, he says he has no reason to believe that, you know, there could be something fishy about the reports when they come to him. I just want to find out from him exactly what is it that he did since we parted with him on the 16th of February last year. Is he still saying he doesn't have the reason to believe that the reports could be faulty or...
Yeah, before you, Honorable Trent, and before you respond, DG, maybe let's go to check with National Treasurer. Two things. One, the question of the conditions. I had an impression, and I'm happy the DG clarified it, that you are the originators of the conditions, which are then negotiated. In your own sense, how reasonable are these conditions? And if they are consistently not met, is it a problem with the conditions or is it a problem with the people who are supposed to follow these conditions? And secondly, the question of capacity within the Department of Health. I remember that in one report, I'm not sure if it's this one or the previous one, Treasury had made some resources available to the department to employ people who should monitor these conditional grants. Could it be that there is need for more resources so that we can have more monitoring? Or is Treasury not making these resources available? I would want to get a response from Treasury first.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not quite sure if my mic is working, but I'll try. Chair, the conditions are in the main determined by the National Department in conjunction with the provinces. Very occasionally we will insert a condition which we believe is essential to the functioning of that grant. In the main, I think, I would think that the conditions are entirely reasonable. And in fact, virtually each one of them there is, I would think, very important, is really essential for that grant. I don't think that the compliance with the conditions is being monitored very well. I think that is something where further improvement can happen. But if there is a persistent problem with a particular condition where it is in fact unenforceable or not monitorable, I think that we would be more than ready to consider agreeing to remove that condition, because clearly it's really senseless to have a condition there that we're not implementable, not practical, not monitorable. So I think you know, we'd be quite open to working with the department on that. On the capacity on the department to monitor, Chair, I think our experiences have been improving. I think over the past 2 years, we progressively are seeing strengthening in the capacity and in the monitoring. I think most of the conditional grant teams are progressively strengthening. So I think we definitely have noticed improvements. We, as you said, Chair, I think around 10 million was given conditionally to the National Department to strengthen its monitoring and management of conditional grants.
10 million, you say?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Right. No, Trent, just hang on a minute. I want to check with the Auditor General. Are we dealing with a substantive problem here, or it's something of a very technical nature? Somebody has not submitted on the 15th, they submit on the 16th, late. And how in a substantive or material sense does this non-compliance pose a threat to accountability for the man that goes to the provinces? What's your sense?
Thank you, Chair. First, I want to go back to a few years where we've actually qualified the department on Division of Revenue Act, on compliance with it, because they made irregular payments, whereby payments were made before business plans were approved, etc. For the last financial year, 06-07, there was no qualification in the National Department of Health. And what we've noted is still a concern regarding the compliance with these conditions. And in our mind, it's still a material non-compliance. And basically, it stems from the fact that the information that's received from the provinces is inadequate. In certain instances, they are late. For one grant, for instance, there was quarterly reports not submitted for the whole year. In my mind, there is still severe problems with the information that's submitted by the provinces to nationals to enable them to properly monitor and evaluate whether the grants that were transferred on condition has actually been spent for the purpose it was intended for.
All right. Thank you very much. I must say, DG, that the other day we were here, yes, with the Public Service Commission on their report concerning the cases of financial misconduct within departments. And one of the problems they were having was a very serious problem of in many cases, departments failing to submit information in the format that is required. That is, filling in a form and saying, we disciplined Temba Godi, is guilty of fraud, he was charged on this day, and that and that and that and that kind of stuff. So, I don't know whether maybe even that had a problem of being onerous. I'm coming to the burden of accountability that gets placed on provinces for, say, 15% of the money they have vis-a-vis the 85% of the money that they have spent during the course of the year. I think Comrade Kumede was talking to, what is the attitude towards reporting, towards accountability, and to what extent does that influence and affect the way English people account. And I don't think we'd want to approach it from a premise that says, look, but this is not a problem. We acknowledge that indeed there have been movements, there have been improvements, there are improvements. We want to encourage them until there is absolute compliance. I want to check with members because I think what we need to do, I mean, the province are here. Certainly we need to hear from them. Why do you submit information late? The Auditor General, I'm here in my paper, I'm looking at 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. Same thing, late submission. And I'm coming to you. So we would certainly need to come to you and talk to us so that we have a sense. I mean, the DG was talking more like shop steward, but you need to speak for yourself so that we have a sense of exactly what are the challenges, what are the issues.
Chair, just a minute, please.
Comrade Mashiane, and then Honourable Trent.
Chairperson, I want to note a contradiction on what was said by the DG in terms of transparency and monitoring. Can you hear me? What happened to me? I think I'm getting old. I want to note, Chairperson, a contradiction by what was said to us by the DG in terms of transfer and monitoring of the conditional grant. I'm going to refer you to page 92, 6, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which says, I quote, "The performance of provinces was monitored by the National Department of Health in terms of the reports submitted by provinces. In support of the monitoring process described above, officials from the National Department of Health also paid site visits to recipient provinces to verify progress." Now, if the DG says to us that they are not able to force, I don't know if it will be the correct word to use, or to expect provinces to be accountable to the national in terms of the conditional grants that they are getting. Where does this paragraph come from? It means that the national itself knows that it has got responsibility to make sure that these grants are utilized in a manner which is acceptable in terms of the PFMA. And also that the national department also has a responsibility to make sure that there is some form of monitoring going on. I just wanted us to note that, Chairperson. I do not expect a reply from the DG, but it sounds to me that when it is a sunny day, we react this way, and when it is winter, cold night, we react in a particular different way from a sunny day. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Trent?
Yes. Lorraine has basically touched on what I wanted to say by quoting from the page 92. But, you know, if you look at the conditions or the format that's set out for every single department, there's measurable outputs there. There are conditions attached and they are listed. There's allocation criteria. They even say why these amounts were not incorporated into the equitable share. Past performance is quoted, and then, important, responsibilities of the national department set out clearly. Now, Chair, I can't see that if you say the there's an equal relationship, that's fair enough. I have no problem with that. However, Chair, if I have an equal relationship with my bank manager, but if I don't borrow money from my bank manager and he needs me to to comply with certain conditions, then I've got to do it. Otherwise, it doesn't give me the money. As simple as that. Now, you know, if this is the way conditional grants work, and this is an act of Parliament, and we, this committee or our colleagues, Parliament, votes that money, and therefore we must account for that money, how it's spent, and that's why all these conditions are there. So, Chair, you know, I don't think this impinges on equality or not. I mean, I'll just read you the one. In every single one of these responsibilities for the national departments, it says monitor implementation and provide support. Every single one of them. And I think that is the spirit in which it is meant to be done. And so I just wanted provinces to sort of just bear that in mind. You know, when we talk about these matters, we're not trying to take away grants, but we just have a responsibility to make sure that those grants are used for the correct purposes when we vote that money to the national department.
Thank you.
And Chair, just one final issue. Have the provinces had sight of the AG's report of the national department so that you can actually see what is said here? Because you should be given that, because this impacts on the provincial performance. You know, what the AG said here. What he said in your report, you know, fine, you've got that, but this particular paragraph is crucial, and I think that you need to comment on that. I don't want to read them all out, Chair, because I mean they're clear for everybody to see this.
Okay. All right. Honourable Stevens, and then we need to move on. Get responses, and then the province are here. They must talk for themselves and explain to us what's happening.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to sound like a shop steward either, because I closed shop a long time ago. But I detect a possible misunderstanding here, so I want to make sure from the DG, as I understood him, he was saying that he has no option but to take whatever he is reported, whatever is reported to him, he has to take that at face value. He does not have the authority to go behind that and to check whether that is the truth. So his monitoring of the situation is restricted to whether the report in front of him says that they've done it. That is, if I understand it correctly, that's what he's saying. Now, if that is so, then the problem lies with the interpretation there of monitoring and the powers that the department has to go behind a report to see whether what is in the report to the department is in fact happening on the ground. And that seems to be the essence of the monitoring problem, as I understand it, as I heard the DG say. But then there seems to be a further problem, and that is what the AG's officer said, and that is that there is a there are examples where certain provinces have not reported for a number of quarters. Now, in such case, if there is no report in front of you, at least claiming to have complied with the conditions, then surely you can't pay anything at all. And what happened in those cases then where there were no reports? Was the money paid over, or was there no money paid over? Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, thank you. I think we can park that, TG. Just note those areas that maybe you feel later on you may want to respond to. But let me respond to what the Honourable Stevens was saying. But the implication of that, and you are correct in terms of how you interpret it,
will be that I would expect the DG to come here and say, look, these are my frustrations with the provinces. Luckily they are here. Let them answer to you because I can't go behind them. See, these are the areas of constant frustration in terms of how they comply with this condition. You as politicians as parliament, then take it up. But I got a sense that, look, this is not a big deal. It's not a problem. That's how I was getting it. I think when we first dealt with this question here, what I said earlier on was the attitude of the DG, that look, there's nothing I can do. It's a problem for me as well. So, but anyway, the provinces are here. Provinces, what we have from the AG as the challenges to which we would expect you to respond. Format, okay. We hear you.
Chairperson, I want to propose a format of reporting from the provinces. On page 92, we have the different grants that go to the provinces, which are National Tertiary Service Grant, Health Professional Training and Development Grant, Hospital Revitalization, Comprehensive HIV and AIDS Plan, and the Forensic Pathology Services. And my proposal is that, Chairperson, each province which reports should report on all those areas as indicated on page 92, so that we get a comprehensive understanding of what is happening within the provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Or maybe let's start here. Let's start here. I'll be more generic. The AG talks to late submissions on any of the specifics that you've identified. Why are the late submissions of business plans? If you check in one financial year, the National Department paid 1.3 billion rand before the business plans were submitted. And last year it paid 196 million rand before the business plans were submitted. Why are business plans submitted late? Two, late or non-submission of monthly financial and quarterly performance reports. On it might be on any of these 245 grants. And thirdly, significant inconsistencies in the information supplied in these monthly and quarterly reports. So the key area here is reporting. What is the problem with reporting? Why are provinces not reporting as expected to them to the national department? If we can start there, then we can later then on the second round come to specifics. Why are business plans not submitted in time to a point where the national department is forced to release money before these business plans are done? Why are we having late submissions of monthly and quarterly reports? And why are some of these reports so... There is inconsistencies, which means qualitatively, it's like there's no quality check before they are sent to national. What's the problem? We'll start with Gauteng. Well, of course, if you are submitting on time on all these things, you are consistent, hopefully the national department will concur and say, no, this province is exonerated. They submit in time. It's just that we have not asked the AG's office to do a summary of each province, so we could maybe next time, but not now. So that's why I'll say Gauteng and tell us what's happening.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think maybe we should first start by a generic statement that would say we are
continuously improving the capacity of the department to monitor and also support. If I could also clarify that obviously as a province we work on districts, and in districts we have then people who are implementing most of these objectives that we have. And as Gauteng, we have just recently procured some services in terms of HIS, health information systems, and e-health records because of identifying the challenge in relation to information capturing and also collation of that information from the different service points that we are dealing with. Now, having said that, Chair, also I would like to hasten to say that the CFO's office has established a unit recently that also looks into monitoring and supporting the districts in terms of that implementation. And because of that, we have seen a marked improvement in terms of our compliance in reporting. And I wouldn't want to go into details in terms of...
I think maybe let's not talk about the improvement, because improvement talks to where you were vis-a-vis where you are. Let's talk more in terms of where you are vis-a-vis where you're supposed to be.
Yes, I'm coming to where we are.
Well, time is a commodity we don't have in much supply, so may as well be pointed to the issues. Late
okay.
submission of business plans. Yeah. What I expect from you is that as far as business plans are concerned, it's counting 100%. We don't have a problem. It's not an issue for us. Monthly and quarterly submissions, yeah, well, this is the challenge, and this is how we're sorting it out. The quality of the information submitted, are you satisfied with it? What are you doing to take care of that? In
thank
that
you,
pointed
Chair.
Form.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The first one in terms of why are business plans submitted, we don't have that problem. And in relation to late submissions, our record says we haven't submitted late, but we have seen some of the indications that are saying we submitted late, and we are willing to also prove documents that confirm that we didn't submit late. So we do have a documentary proof here. In relation to significant inconsistencies in addressing the reports, we've checked, and it doesn't reflect that Gauteng has got that problem.
To react to that, TG, a quick overview, is that your sense of how things are in Gauteng? Their business plans are in time, they have no late submissions, the quality of their submissions consistent, everything is caution.
By and large, I think that's quite correct, reflective of the situation.
By and large.
By and large, because as the HOD said, there is room for improvement. But in terms of the actual,
where is the improvement? Is it on the quality?
The quality side. It couldn't be said to be inconsistent as the finding says here, but it doesn't mean the quality is actually still is now 100%.
Okay. Northwest, and I'll give the Auditor General the opportunity if as we move on they feel there's need to respond or intervene. Northwest.
Thank you very much, Chair. With respect to late submission of business plans, I must confirm that in the Northwest we don't have that problem. Unless if there is anything not that is not brought to my attention. The late submission of monthly and quarterly monitoring reports, yes, for the year 2006-2007, that is the year that we're speaking to, there were instances where reports were submitted on the 16th instead of the 15th. And the latest we have been as a department was to submit on the 18th instead of the 15th. Otherwise, we have been on time for at least the rest of the year. The issue of inconsistencies, we are consistent with the and complying with the conditions of the DORA. There was an instance, and it has been confirmed to me in the department that there were an issue with the Health Professional and Training Development Grant, where the province was allowed by National to use the grant for nurses. And National has since written to us to say we can't use it for nurses. In other words, we cannot use it for colleges because this should strictly be used to build capacity for training for medical students and for payment of specialists who train them. And we have since complied with that. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I hope the auditors are noting that because I'm looking at this document that is the DORA overview. Just that in the time is a commodity I don't have. So from what you're saying, there are no problems in the Northwest. Everything is moving smoothly.
Chairperson, I have just indicated that we did have an instance of inconsistency with respect to the Health Professional Training and Development Plan, which has since been corrected. And that was done in consultation with the National Department, and there was an agreement in that year. And we have since come back to say that grant cannot be used for nurses. It should only be used for specialists and for medical students, and that is what we are doing at the present moment. So you would see that if you go to the report of 06-07, you will come across this instance, and I'm being honest in sharing it with you. I've also said, I'm not saying that there are no problems, I've also said that there are instances in the year 2006 and 2007, where the quarterly reports, the monthly reports were given on the 16th instead of the 15th. And there is documentary proof to that effect. And the latest the province has become was by 3 days in instances where reports were given to National on the 18th instead of the 15th of the month. So I honestly did not say that there are no problems. I see those as problems, and this is why I'm saying, if you look at the months thereafter, you see that there are instances where we even submit before time because we are trying to be on time on the 15th. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. Pozulu Nata.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to late submissions of business...
Can you talk closer to the mic? It doesn't sound good from here.
Generally, we don't have a problem with late submissions of business plans. And of quarterly reports, yes, we have had occasion where we have submitted on the after the 15th, and two of those around the 20th. But we have since improved on that. But the major challenge is the vastness of the province itself and the capacity in other areas where manual systems are still being used. We don't have a problem with the quality of information that is being submitted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Northern Cape.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, Honourable Chair and members, I suppose in that year of 06-07, we had a couple of challenges. Chair, I'm at a disadvantage because I recently joined the department, so I'm making the comments from the annual report, which I read. I suppose, Chair, one of the issues is the, and also having foresight of managing these conditional grants from National, is the issue of reporting late. The date of the 15th of the following month is a bit tight in terms of collecting the information required to report. What in a sense happens then, it affects the quality of the report. Even the quarterly report, because you need to collect the data, and the data sometimes is not up to quality by the time it's needed. So I think what would have loved is for the National Department to negotiate with National Treasury that maybe we alter this date so that then we comply
and that will also improve the quality of the reporting. Now, in terms of the quality of the reporting, I've got a sense here it's a bit of a capacity problem, because I've got a sense that the province did not put systems in place and people in place to do the work. What we're doing now is to put those in place so the work can be done properly. So that would also improve the quality. The business plans, I'm sure, Chair, because this might be a new way of doing things, the business plans. Maybe people are struggling with putting ideas on paper. That's why sometimes you find that people do things which are not in the business plan. Not things which don't contribute to the general objective, but they might not have been put them in the business plan. For instance, they might say that they want to do something in a revitalization site, but they didn't put in the business plan, but they do something in the revitalization, not in the business plan. So I'm saying that that's a bit just a problem of putting things on paper. But I think all these things are going to be improved.
For me, that talks to planning. What do you want to do? You see, unless you remember what you want to do as you move on. Remember that, ooh, I must do this, and I didn't put it on, you know, in the business plan. It certainly does not, you know, hold water with me. And I do see that the Northern Cape got a disclaimer of opinion. So obviously it means it's a case of things fall apart in that particular province. And so, yes, I think it would have been astounding if the Northern Cape was able to meet all these aspects in that kind of situation. Mpumala.
Thank you, Chair. On the side of Mpumalanga, in terms of the submissions, both for business plans and quarterly reports, Mpumalanga has been consistent on the side of the delays and omissions in some instances.
You have been consistent in delays and omissions.
Chair, I'm just reflecting on reality.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure I heard you well. Oh, that's what you're saying. Okay.
And the only grant that has had an improvement gradient is the grant on HIV. And the reason that we have had is the challenges around the high staff turnover in all the portfolios that relate to the grants and the issues of capacity for the management of the grants, as well as the issues of information management and Tanya's reporting related to the challenges both of the infrastructure for managing information and the capacity to manage the very information. At this point, there are various interventions that are being implemented for the department to make improvements both around the issues of staffing, the organizational improvements, as well as the reviews that are being done and that are being presented at other national committees around the issues of remuneration of staff in Mpumalanga that relate to the low capacity around management of the grant. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, well, if I heard you well, you were talking more to the submission of business plans and also the submissions of monthly and quarterly reports. So that would obviously affect the quality of the reports that come from the district. Okay. Yes, Comrade.
Okay, I just want to pose a question to the DG. And then maybe get a response from him or the department. You see, Chair, unless I'm not understanding this thing, the province is saying we have challenges, we have problems, and that type of thing, and that's why we are unable to perform, if I have the last speaker correctly.
But the PFMA says that the accounting officer must get written assurance from the recipient that that entity is in a position to do the things that we're talking about, the remedial measures requiring the entity to establish and implement effective, efficient and transparent, all those types of things. That's what the PFMA says. That it's the authority of the accounting, I mean it's the responsibility of the accounting authority that before you transfer these things must be in place. We hear the department saying, well, these things are not in place, we're working on it. Is there not a danger, Chair, that the accounting officer, when you appear before us at some point, will accuse you of not carrying out your responsibilities? And I'm not saying it's your fault at this point. All I'm saying is that the law of the land says that you must get written assurance where there are those type of problems. Short of that, my own interpretation is that those departments must not get that money because it was going to put you in a problem. So I'm not sure that provinces are aware that this are the ramifications. So for somebody to come and say to us, well, look, you know, let's be honest and open, we do have problems and we do have challenges. And we are dealing with them. For me, doesn't show the necessary urgency, read in conjunction with the PFMA, which will have a direct impact on service delivery. Because as Parliament, it is within our rights to refuse that money to be transferred to the provinces. And then the province will say to us, we're unable to put beds in Baragwana because we didn't get that money. But the real root of the problem is that we are not implementing the law. So I'm just wanting an explanation from the DG. How are you acting on these things? Because I'm getting a sense that, as you said earlier on, well, this is the problem, let's be honest, let's be open, let's put it on the table and leave it at that. So I'm not getting a sense, Chair, that there is a program in place to fix this thing up, otherwise we will stop it. Quite frankly, we will stop it at Parliament.
Okay, but before the DG responds, can we get the last provinces? Give us a sense and then we'll go back to the DG and also the Auditor General to come on this matter. Western Cape?
Chairperson, thank you. First of all, I think it's important just before I respond, and I know time is of the essence, just to say that one can't really look at all the grants in the same way. So to answer your questions, as regards the NTSC, HBCDG, and HRP, Hospital Revitalization Program, they are grants that are easy to report on, and the answer to those questions would be in the affirmative for all of them. And there are no delays. The two grants where there are challenges is HIV and AIDS, and the forensic pathology services, and those are specific, and there are specific challenges to report in terms of time frames.
Right. So what you're saying is that in terms of monthly and quarterly submissions, there are areas that have challenges.
Yes, in HIV and AIDS, and in the forensic pathology services to agree, but particularly in HIV and AIDS.
All right.
No.
Let's do it this way. I hear what you're saying, and it is correct. I said when we have just finished this round, then we could go into specifics of each grant. But what we wanted to check, as you would have heard your colleagues, is when it comes to submission of business plans, are all business plans submitted timeously, or do we get grants after submission, or do we have instances where we get grants before submitting business plans, of whatever grant? And secondly, in terms of reporting, are we able to report in time for all the grants, or there are instances where there are delays, without going into the specifics at this stage? Just at that very broad and generic level.
Chairperson, the answer in a generic sense, if you take either in any area,
yep,
then the answer to the question is yes, there are delays, and they are the same as mentioned by other departments in terms of a number of days. Certainly the Western Cape has submitted reports for all the reports that are required, there were delays. As regards the business plans, the only one in which only there were delays, yes, but not in all, and that's what I was trying to differentiate.
Okay, yeah. Now, in terms of the quality of the information submitted, consistency.
In terms of that, again, the answer is yes, there were inconsistencies and inaccuracies. But I think the important point, if you'll allow me just to explain, and that is that one of the key issues is, in fact, that because of the pressure to submit reports by the 15th, much of the information submitted is provisional. It is then verified at the next quarter, and then it is correct. And by the end of the year, when it is incorporated in the annual report, it is finally verified. The problem the Auditor General has had is that in the quarterly report, they notice discrepancies in terms of the end-of-year calculations year-on-year, because the quarters are initially provisional, because that's the only way we can do it, particularly with HIV and AIDS, and then they are verified in the next quarter. And that, I'm sure, creates a problem for all of the provinces. So the answer is, in terms of the exact question, the answer is yes, there are inaccuracies, but they are corrected as the financial year progresses. And they should be finally verified and corrected when the annual support is submitted to the legislature.
Okay. All right. Eastern Cape?
Thank you, Chair. In the last financial year, the one instance that I'm aware of where there was a late submission of a business plan was the HIV and AIDS. And the reason for that was because of corrections that we had to make on an initial submission that we had made, which was on the due date or before the due date. But there were issues that had to be corrected, and that resulted in that being considered as a late submission. There has been problems in the past years of a late submission, but we have improved, as I've indicated, that in the last financial year, the one that I'm aware of that had the challenge of submission on time was the HIV and AIDS. Chair, also in the last year, all of our monthly reports were late by a day or 2 days, something like that. And I submit that they shouldn't be late. But the issues when I interrogated, as to the reasons from the problem managers, they related to the manner of submission, for instance, maybe, the 15th would fall on a Friday, and the report would not be received, on that particular day by National because of technical difficulties with maybe...
Let us say the 15th is on a Sunday. If it's on Friday, it's a working day, it should be submitted.
Yes, I'm saying maybe it will be submitted in the afternoon,
okay.
On Friday.
Yeah,
and it would not, received and all of that. So there are those types of problems which can be avoided. I'm not making an excuse, but also simply being the effort of trying to put the report together in trying to make sure that it is correct and that it can be submitted has contributed towards those late submissions. I am dealing with that matter, Chair. Already there are steps that I have taken to correct that. In terms of the quality of the reports, yes, Chair, as my colleague from the Western Cape is saying, there are challenges. Those would stem even from the data that is not complete. That comes through from the implementing institutions or data that it does not make sense, and
that will not make sense. I think it will come from data that will not make sense.
Yes, reporting that would, in terms of information that does not make sense, which then calls upon us at head office to then have to correct, interrogate, refer back, and say, please correct this, this does not make sense. Those types of challenges. and some of them which are system related challenges. But we have been submitting those reports on a quarterly basis, you know. Indeed, Chair, it is an area of improvement, as I would acknowledge. Thank you very much.
All right. Limpopo?
Thank you. In regards to the submission of business plans, we've been submitting business plans on time. We've had only one instance where we submitted the HPCD business plan date, and it has due to corrections that we're supposed to have done, to have sent back to make corrections. So unfortunately, with that one, we submitted it late. When it comes to the quarterly reports, yes, we did have, we have had instances when we submitted our quarterly reports late, and it's also due to, as my colleagues have actually explained to the committee, capacity at institutions in my case, and also the time taken to collate and to verify the information. And also that we are not able to meet the 15th. And that's why, as a result, for instance, in the HIDMA, sometimes we submitted the latest has been on the 22nd of the month. But we have also seen quite a lot of improvement, because in the later, if you look at 2006 and 7, in the later months of the year, we have actually met the target and submitted on time. And when it comes to the quality, we do have instances where the quality is not correct, but we have tried really to submit the validation.
Okay, thank you. Please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Regarding the three questions, the first one, we submit our business plans in time. I believe the Auditor General is reporting on the date of approval and signage of the reports. We had the year under discussion, we had a problem with our HIV and AIDS business plan. It was submitted in time, but because of some disagreement of the content of the plan, the approval and final signage of the business plan that specific year was late. With regard to quarterly reporting, we endeavor to report on the 15th, and we generally reach that date. Sometimes there might be a technical problem. We don't submit any report that's not signed off by the program managers as well with a accounting officer. And that might happen that what you mentioned, the Friday is the 14th and the Saturday the 15th, that report might only be submitted on the Monday. With regard to the quality of the reporting, I concur what the colleague, Professor Housen from Western Cape said. There is, in some of the instances of reporting of some of these conditional grants, the quality of reporting at the 15th of the month is a problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I will look over the site to see if you are in a position to comment, or I could hand over to the DG. There was a specific question, but also maybe to talk to some of the issues that have been raised. And maybe National Treasurer, the conditions, especially the 15th. Although I will not be impressed with officials who come and complain about the 15th year in Parliament and not having raised it either with the DG and or with National Treasurer, because for me then that would be an excuse. If you have raised it consistently, we would want to hear from National Treasurer, why have you ignored this complaint? Not that we're saying, why didn't you change it? No, why did you ignore it? Maybe because you realize it's critical for the condition, or it is doable. Officials need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, which they're not doing. Yeah, okay. I'll start with the Auditor General's office and then the DG, and then we'll check with National Treasurer.
Thank you, Chair. I had a quick, I've made a quick analysis. Basically, for the last year, we focused on three grants, which was the HIV-AIDS,
the hospital revitalization grant as well as the health professions grant. And with the revitalization, there was a specific requirement in the Division of Revenue Act that the project implementation plans had to be submitted by a certain date. And none of the provinces made that specific date. In terms of Gauteng, if I can just note some inconsistency, the health professions grant, the quarterly reports were not submitted, as well as the revitalization grant, the quarterly reports were not submitted for the whole year. KwaZulu-Natal, HIV-AIDS, the quarterly reports were not submitted for the whole year. And then in the Eastern Cape, the others I concur with, they've agreed that there was late submissions or inconsistencies. For the Eastern Cape, on the HIV-AIDS grant, there was no quarterly reports for the whole year, as well as a number of inconsistencies that were noted between the monthly report and the quarterly report relating to the health revitalization grant. And what we noted in that specific province is that the expenditure will fluctuate quite a lot month to month, and when you get the quarterly report, it doesn't talk to each other. And what we also noted is that you will get a quarterly, a monthly report that's got less expenditure for the year to date than what's included in the quarterly report. So those inconsistencies could not be explained, and that's hindering this or adding to the challenge that National has. In Limpopo, the HIV-AIDS grant's not, the quarterly report's not submitted for the whole year. And then, yes, as the Free State has concurred, especially in the HIV and revitalization grant, we've also noted some inconsistencies in the quarterly report versus the monthly report. And what we're looking for, basically, is that if you have 3 months, the expenditure in that 3 months should add to the quarterly report. And it becomes difficult and poses a challenge to monitor if there's material differences between the quarterly and the monthly report.
In your own assessment, what is the challenge? What is the area of challenge for these inconsistencies? Because from what I was getting from the provinces, it was a question of provisional figures, although I wasn't certain what figures we're talking about here, whether it is the money spent or it is the number of patients treated, in which case I would still be failing to understand. If in January you treated 30 patients, they will remain 30, unless if the records that come from the clinic and go to the district, or when the district compiles, they do so without having got all the records from, you know, from the various sites, and therefore their records are incomplete. I'm struggling to understand what is exactly the area of challenge so far as the figures are concerned.
In my assessment, it's basically the recording of expenditure at root level. That's a concern, making sure that those expenditure are recorded accurately and completely, as well as in the monitoring in the province regarding those expenditure. And to use the example, if you have expenditure year-to-date for month two, that is 6 million, and you get to month three and it's only 3 million, you get concerns in terms of what happens with the expenditure in that province.
Yeah. DG?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Just in the process of the discussion, Chair, that has been taking place with questions and so on, I just want to pick up on two or three issues. One is to clarify this issue, Chair, because you referred to it. If we talk about significant inconsistencies in the information supplied in the monthly financial and quarterly performance report, there are levels of information that we can verify. For example, information that says, well, the expenditure was 1 in one instance, but in the quarterly report it doesn't tally. That's very clear. So, but that there we have authority. We can do that. But if actually we are talking about the claim that that expenditure was on A, B, and C, and then the Auditor General finds later that actually that's not the case. The point I'm making there is that there's no way we could have actually identified that that is not the case. So there's a difference in terms of level of authority. Where it's an obvious kind of relationship, there's no problem. But where you are talking about that inconsistency has to do with the fact that perhaps there's a claim of expenditure which in fact is not verified later, verified to have been something else. I wouldn't have been able to get into a provincial book. That's why I say I rely on the information that is given. So where we can actually account for it, I accept that there's a problem of our own monitoring and the capacity that we have, which we said we're trying to do. But that issue, which of course is in the DORA, it's referred to by Honorable Gumede, I think, there is an expectation that because I'm the accounting officer, I should have actually got into understanding why there is an inconsistency in the claim, that actually the province claims that they spent the money on A, B, and C, but it's found later by the Auditor General that that was not the case. Because they have the capacity to get into those books, which I don't have. That's the difference between in terms of inconsistency. So there are levels of inconsistency.
Yeah, I think insofar as that one is concerned, I think we're on the same page.
The second issue, Chairperson, again, because we're talking about a generic problem, we say late submission of business plans, because that's the conclusion. But at some point you ask, Chair, what is the materiality? And if you look at the issues, even the AG response now, talks to specific provinces, one or two, on a specific issue. In other words, there's a general sense that in terms of business plans being submitted on time, there's a general sense that we have a general improvement, except in certain instances of one or two provinces where there is a material kind of problem there. But of course, the Auditor General makes the statement, which is general.
Yeah, no. I think that we do not read that statement to be suggesting that all provinces are submitting late.
Yeah.
I think it is fair for the Auditor General to put it in that generic sense, without in the annual report saying province A, B, C did not do this. So I think from our side, no, we're clear. It doesn't mean that you have a blanket situation, even in all these other areas that have been spoken to.
Yeah, not. But I think it's important to understand for materiality of the broad problem.
No. I wouldn't want us to look at it from that angle, which says if you have two provinces that are not submitting out of nine, therefore, from a materiality point of view, it is something we can, you know, we can look aside. It might. Look bad for you sitting there, but I'm saying no, we fully understand that it does not talk to a totality of the situation without looking at the materiality which you're referring to. No, we're with you.
Not a I'll defer to the chair on the issue. I'll defer to the chair.
Okay.
The other thing, sir, which I think we need to respond to is finally on this question of the issue of the contradiction between the two. I think I've actually explained the significance of the contradiction. On the one hand, there is a problem of capacity at the national level, which we have acknowledged, and I started there that this committee resolved to say and directed us to actually do certain things, and we're doing those things.
And Treasury has made money available for that.
Yes, of course we can.
No, that's fine. Let's leave that. Maybe respond to the other one raised by Comrade Vincent.
No, no. Again, Chair, I think it's related to the same issue. Whereas if it comes to an entity like an NGO, another entity where we're transferring the funds, we have the authority and the capacity to send people to verify their books and so on and so on. If a province gives me a compliance certificate, which they signed, to say they have put in place these capacities, etc., including the audit capacities and the reporting capacities, I do have a written assurance from the province that actually they have that capacity to do this. If it turns out that, in fact, this is what happens in the end, as you've just heard, that compliance certificate has actually meant that from a PFMA point of view, there is compliance on my part in terms of the written assurance. But beyond that, do I have to then, this is the question that arises, do I have to say, okay, I want to verify this compliance report. Do I send a team that's going to look at each one of those capacities before I say, now, I think the province has the capacity, I can transfer the funds. If that is the case, and that is the question that we've been asking, if that is the case, the proportion of what we are doing that for, vis-a-vis the transfers that the National Treasury will do to the same department on the equitable share, means we are actually putting a lot of capacity. We should be doing that overall. If the Department of Health is not able to manage its funds in general.
I think the point here is, if you get a compliance certificate from Mpumalanga in 2004-2005, and at the end of the financial year you find that they actually don't have that capacity, and 2 months down the line they bring you another compliance certificate, does the previous experience not have any bearing to how you deal with the certificate in front of you?
It does, Chair, because they will say, but we've taken steps from the previous year to do A, B, and C. And so you have a Schedule 4 grant where, in fact, you have to then transfer by law, but Schedule 5...
And then come the end of 2006, you find that that was not the case. You must now give them the next tranche for 2006-2007.
Do I have the authority, Chair, to exclude any province as the accounting officer from participating in a conditional grant because they have consistently got disclaimers on the basis of the capacity issue?
So that compliance certificate basically means nothing?
I agree, Chair. But
it's
a systemic issue. It's a systemic issue, Chair.
So maybe let me check from National Treasury, because then there's no point in getting a compliance certificate. Anybody can write, sign it, and give it to you. It's basically like a knock on the door. Can you open? Can you open for me? It doesn't say anything substantive. Accountant General?
Chair, you are putting me in a difficult situation here. I think naturally compliance certificates have to mean something. If any department sees it appropriate that in order to allocate resources for a particular program, there ought to be certain conditionalities that are fulfilled before that those allocations are made and transfers are made in relation thereto. The conditions put in place should therefore be conditions that are considered appropriate and relevant to the necessity to transfer. And therefore, I don't think we can say on the one side we will transfer this money based on a condition, and then when the condition is not met, we then say we'll transfer anyway. I'm not saying that's what is suggested here, but sometimes that does maybe invariably come across. I do take the point that it's not always that you're going to be able to identify these problems and therefore stop the transfer. But if the condition has been put there, then maybe there has to be a mechanism that can be proved to the auditors. Whether it works effectively or not is a different matter. There has to be a mechanism that can be put to the auditors by the department that says, we've got this condition, we understand the challenges in relation to monitoring this particular condition, but we do, on a sample basis, do this exercise to ensure that the condition is met. For instance, you can pick up one or two departments or one or two provinces and say, can we test this so that we've got a sense of understanding that these conditions are being met. And I think that can help and provide the ammunition necessary. And you will do that with one or two of the provinces, and then people are not going to lie about what has happened. Yes, there is a challenge about whether the particular service that has to be done, the particular service from a service developer point of view that has to be done, how does that get fulfilled?
No,
that's not a question I want to
ask. I don't want us to go there, because we're dealing with it at a conceptual level, a generic level.
But, Chair, I think once there's a condition, there has to be a mechanism of ensuring that we verify compliance with that condition. There may be difficulties. Some of them may be detective, which means it happens after the fact, but at least it informs decisions going forward.
Okay. Commissioner? Yeah.
Oh, we've got a challenge. You see, because as far as I'm concerned, the PFMA is the supreme law. The PFMA, and if you can't comply with the PFMA, you'd rather not do anything or be at risk. And I'm talking here specifically to the accounting officer, because I sympathize with you, sir. It says, if the accounting authority for a public entity or department commits an act of financial misconduct. Let me read it again. The accounting authority for a public entity commits an act of financial misconduct if that accounting authority willfully or negligently does X, Y, and Z. Now, I will argue that if Province A consistently has a disclaimer on a particular grant, that if we continue to give them that, then we are doing it negligently. Then we are doing it negligently. And we have the full right then to accounting authority. The penalty for this misconduct is 5 years imprisonment. So I think that the accounting authority, together with us maybe as politicians, have to go back to the provinces and put the ball where it actually lies. A province can't come every year, and because they know that if we don't give them the money, there's a political outcry because we can't provide HIV. So the pressure's on us. We'll do it regardless. And if they don't give us the money, we will then argue that we can't provide ARVs or whatever the case might be, and get away with it. There has to be a time where if we don't address this problem with the accounting authority, we should be able to go to the provinces and implement the PFMA that says we should institute criminal actions against the people. I'm saying accounting, the Treasury is here, we are here, the accounting officer is here. I think we urgently need to sit and look at this matter because, quite frankly, Chair, DORA has been with us since it's been implemented. This problem of DORA has been with us. We've spoken about it. The reason why we call the provinces here today is so that you hear from us the frustration and also understand the action that we're going to take, quite legally so, the action that we're going to take. So I'm not sure, Chair, that discussing it can find a solution. I think what we need to do is to say where to from here. And my own proposal is that provinces can't continue to not spend the money for the condition or the reason it was given to them and get away with it. That's my own proposal, Chair.
All right.
If it means amending some law, let's amend that law. After all, we are the lawmakers.
All right, I'll give Honourable Trent, and then we round it off, because we should have finished by 11 o'clock and get into the other engagement.
Chair, I'm going to try and be as brief as possible. I want to follow on from what Vincent said, because I want to raise something that I raised right at the beginning. I want to use an example very quickly. It says here, why do we have a hospital revitalization grant? Because, it says, a strategic investment in hospital services must be done to bring all the provinces up to standard. And then it goes on to say, because of the massive capital investment required, it is suited for this type of funding. Now, that's perfect, Chair. But what I'm saying is, when you then look at what the Auditor General said in the provincial report as to how some of these grants are being mismanaged, and you know, you can look. It's all over the place. I don't want to be personalize this thing at all for promises, but I can read it out of here. I've done some research. Then I'm saying, and this is my question. I'm trying to consult with my colleague here as a lawyer, but he can't give me a straight answer. What I want to know is, and I want to go back to what Vincent said, because it says very clearly, the county office is responsible for the effective, efficient, economical, and transparent use of the resources. And then it goes on to say that if those resources, or it's found that, or if he permits those resources to be spent irregularly, fruitlessly, or wastefully, then he's responsible. He or she is responsible. And then I'll go back to the offences and penalties. I don't want to go into that. But those are the sections. Now, my question is a very simple one. And if I'm wrong, then you must tell me. We vote this money from this our budget, and this committee must exercise oversight over that money. Now, once that money has been granted to the provinces, it is all responsibility, or we absolve from any responsibility what actually happens to that money. I don't believe that, Chair. Now, I don't know. I know that the Provincial Public Accounts Committee probably interrogate these matters. I'm sure they do. But if the accounting officer nationally is not aware of what the outcome is, that's what I'm really talking about. Can I just quote one, Chair? I just want to quote one.
Very briefly.
Now, I want one paragraph. Mismanagement of hospital revitalization grant funds resulted in avoidable expenditure amounting to 283 million rand. Avoidable. Now, okay, I've got 4 pages of this stuff. And going over a long period of time. Now, to you, that concerns me. I don't know, what is our responsibility, this committee? And I know there's got to be some joint action here, because we can't go on voting money, and either it doesn't get spent for the purpose for which it's voted, or else it is wastefully spent, or there's no positive result.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, Chair, how we go forward with that, but
okay.
To me, that's critical.
All right. Okay, thank you. I said this will be the last, but Comrade Lorraine, let me...
Chairperson, I'm going to be very brief. We received a report in a mixed manner. You had indicated or requested that at the beginning we hear on the general questions and answers to be given to those. But some provinces then moved over to the issues that I raised. So I want to make a proposal, Chairperson, that each and every province within 60 days give us reports on those issues, the 5 issues that I had pointed out, because it was not all provinces which were able to give us that information in full. So that we're able to check against the report of the AG whether the information that is contained there is the same as what the AG is giving us. So that's my concrete proposal, Chairperson. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Comrade. Let's not make it 60. I mean, we're talking about what happened in the last financial year, the information they have. So can we have this in 2 weeks' time? What were you reporting timelines? Were you reporting in time? What were the challenges in this? For the grants that are listed on page 92, in terms of how the business plans, the monthly and quarterly submissions, and also the quality of the submissions, what were the challenges and what are the things? DG, I think you recall that when we proposed this meeting, it was not your meeting. It is more about the provinces, because they are the people who are using the money that you give them. And we are saying they are not accounting to you in a manner that the Auditor General is satisfied, and also in a manner that we are satisfied. So we here basically to assist you, to make sure that next time you get reports from provinces that are to your satisfaction and the satisfaction of the conditions that have been laid down. And I think the point that Honorable Trent and Comrade Vincent have raised in terms of how do we continue to give money when accountability is not up to the level required by the conditions that have been set. We will meet a lot of officials, and sometimes we've come to know officials speak. Without going into each province, but we're told, no, we're submitting in time, we're reporting, we're doing this, and the Auditor General stands up and goes and says, you have not been reporting. And I haven't seen any province protesting, that no, but we reported. And yet the reports that you're going to contradict that. Oh, all right, you contradict that in your submissions, in your submissions. Our interest is not to find fault. We'll actually be happy if there are no faults, because that's what we want. And as a committee, we always say, we want to work ourselves out of a job, get everybody to do their work so well that there is no need for a public accounts committee. Then we'll be deployed to other committees. But finally, we want to stress to provinces that the picture out there is not good for provinces. We know that our financial management at national is not good, but it's worse when you go to the provinces in a generic sense. And I have with me here the audit opinions for the Department of Health in all the provinces. One disclaimer, one adverse opinion, and four qualified opinions. So you only have three that is unqualified opinions. And part of that not so good administration of resources would obviously relate to the conditional grant. And that is where we come in. So really, really want that there has to be that serious, without really going to, the what the law says and the criminality of doing this and not doing that. Would want that officials to do their work, because this act has been meant to assist managers to manage effectively and efficiently in the interest of our people. Provision of health was one of the key promises of freedom. So if we are not doing it as expected, we are defeating that very objective that should be realized when the resources are there, but somehow they are not being managed appropriately, or at least they are not being accounted for appropriately. TG, you need a minute before we call it quits.
No, Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity that the committee has afforded us, Chair. I think part of the conversation in terms of strengthening monitoring and evaluation as well as accountability, I think has assisted, this conversation has assisted in the sectoral discussions that we're having. And indeed, we will ensure that where we can actually improve, take the cue from the committee as to what is happening. I do say perhaps in an opportunity of this nature, we still don't address the systemic issues, and we'll continue that debate. I understand, because like the Auditor General, this committee has a function to take the law and say, are you complying? But there must be some platform where we actually talk outside the box of the law and then come back to the law to amend it if we have to. Because I don't agree, for example, with the views of the Treasury
that these things are adequate. They are actually made to fit certain laws. But practice must teach us how to deal with them. And one day we'll have that opportunity, Chair, to speak outside the law in order to actually come back to the law.
Well, I suppose you do have that opportunity from time to time with the Portfolio Committee, because that's the oversight body that deals with policies. So I think that you may need to initiate discussion on that field, and if our experience in this particular instance is anything that can assist, certainly members of the committee, we can be there too. But I would imagine that because you are facing these frustrations, initiate that discussion in the Portfolio Committee and say, but we have systemic challenges here. How do we address them? Rather than to have these challenges and just stay with them. I think it does not assist anybody. But thank you very much, and would like to thank the officials from the provinces for having made time to be here with us. And I do want to believe that this engagement would have assisted in clarifying from your side what the expectations of us here in Parliament is in relation to the monies that you get and the exercise that we engage in on oversight. Thank you very much. We'll have a 1-minute golden break, and then we'll continue with the...